Today is July the 14th, 2023. I'm Jen Widener with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library conducting interviews for Some Like It Hot, Tales from the Firehouse. I'm here today with retired firefighter Marty Stingle of the Jeffersonville Fire Department. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So how long were you with the department?
36 years.
That's quite a long time for any job, but especially firefighting.
I was blessed not to have to worry about a job. Not too many people want to have a job where everybody runs out and you're going in.
Exactly. Exactly. So what made you want to become a firefighter?
Oh, I was working for the Van Gilder family. Your dad, I'm sure, you know, knows all them. Mm-hmm. You might too.
Yep.
Anyhow, Jimmy was on the fire department. And we were talking about it one day because him and I worked together. And he said, you were thinking about trying to get on the fire department. I said, well, no, because I had applications at the fire department, public service at the time, and Colgate's. So Rich Visiting was actually the mayor at the time, and he was a personal friend of my father's. My dad printed all his signs up for him when he first ran for office, and they were good friends throughout the years. And he, after a few times of me supposed to be the next one, somebody else got hired, and I'm next, somebody else got hired, and finally, he said, go take your test, because he tried to get me on the police department. I said, I don't want to be on the police department. I want to be on the fire department. So it was a great choice for me to make, and it's an awesome job. It's a great career.
Did I read somewhere that you used to be scared of fire trucks?
I was petrified.
As a child?
As a child. And my dad actually took me down to the firehouse, and I climbed over the fire trucks that day, and I actually had a run when I was there. And after that, I wasn't scared of them anymore. But I used to... like this when they go by.
I mean, they are loud and little kids. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's something you're used to. So if you hadn't become a firefighter, what do you think you would have done?
Oh, I'm not sure. I've been involved with Mark Van Gilder for several years. We're best friends, and we've worked together. We've done heating and air work together. We've done electric work together. So I probably would have just continued that if I didn't get on, you know, the public service or at Colgate's, which I guess is kind of good. I didn't get on Colgate's since they shut down.
Yeah, my dad retired from the early retirement
right.
from there, yeah. So what were some challenges of being a firefighter?
Probably the biggest challenge is being away from your family. You know, it's a 24-hour, which we did. When I first started out, we worked like a 2-3, where you would say you would work Monday all day, you'd be off Tuesday, you'd work Wednesday all day, then you'd be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So then it transferred, they had to come up with a new schedule, and then we started working what they call 3-4, so it was like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So I've got two sons, and I missed a lot of, back when we were younger, all of us, you know, we could come in and work for each other while we went to the game, so I didn't miss a whole lot, but there were still some times that I couldn't get to some things that I probably, you know, wished I could have been there for, but just, they understood. So.
It's your job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long did it take to get used to working those 24-hour shifts?
That really wasn't hard for me to. I've been blessed through the years. I've worked with great people. I was never on a bad crew that I hated to go to work, which made it, you know, just everything was great.
Now, a lot of people can't say that they love to go to work.
Right. But I was an athlete in school, and the fire department is like when the buzzer goes off, I've related it to when you hit either the floor or the field. I played basketball and baseball at Providence. And when its buzzer goes off, you get pumped up, and it's like, what do we got? You know, what am I going to deal with now?
So it didn't bother you being woken up in the middle of the night?
Sometimes.
That's what I was thinking. Like, that would be so hard to be sleeping and all of a sudden have to get up and go.
On the firehouse now, they've got these real soft alarms. When I was there, it was like, bah! I mean, there was a little tone that went off first, and the speaker was up in the lounge room where somebody going to watch TV. Some guys would turn it down. Well, you wouldn't hear it. And it was just like that, a big blast at once. But if you could hear the tones, you never did really sleep good at the firehouse because
you're always waiting. Yeah,
always wondering what you're going to run into. And so it was. I didn't realize how much pressure really was on me until I got away from it, and it's just like it just lifted away.
Because at the time, it's your job. It's what you do.
Yeah.
What were some of the best parts of your job?
Helping people. It was. I've had a lot of people come up and hug me. You know, for saving people, saving animals, getting personal belongings out for people. You know, it's the first lesson I got was from Jim Carter when my first day on the job. He said, I want to teach you one thing, and I want you to never forget this. I said, what's that? He said, the public pays your salary. You take care of the public. And I've always done that.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's a public service job. And I mean, yeah, with the City of Jeff, we thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
What was the worst parts?
Oh, my worst thing probably was dealing with death with children. I had the fire department's, it's not a job that you're not there for a paycheck. You either love the job or you walk away from it, because it's not something you know, when you run, you're going to run into bad things and you see bad things. And we had a run when I first started out, we didn't do EMS runs. It was strictly firefighting. Well, this is after we started making EMS runs, and it was on Colonial Park Drive, and we got knocked out on a small infant that wasn't breathing. So as soon as I went in the door, the lady hands me the little girl, and she just had a diaper on. She was cut from here down to her belly button, so she had heart issues, and she was not breathing when I got her, and I didn't save her. Mm. So, still.
No, it's tough. I mean, at the end of the day, you're humans, and things affect you the same way they affect anybody. Yeah.
Anyhow, for about the next 3 months, I'd wake up because I give her mouth. Back then, we did mouth to mouth. I give her mouth to mouth all the way. The ambulance was slow getting there, so we actually jumped into a police car, and I was giving her mouth to mouth in the back of a police car. And for probably 3 months, I'd wake up every night, and I'd see her face just like this. And I thought that was going to be my time to just say, But eventually I got over it. And I mean, I never forget it.
Right. And you guys see horrible stuff. I mean, you're meeting people on their worst days,
right.
Whether, you know, it's a medical call,
right.
Fire, car accident. Yeah.
Medical calls really changed the fire service. You know, it gave me an all new respect. I guess I just took ambulance drivers for granted. You know, they took their job just like I took mine. But those people go through, they're well underpaid. They should make a lot more money than what they make.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they're, you know, for us being the first on the scene, normally it used to be, you know, we didn't get called to the scene until after. The police would be there, an ambulance would be there. If somebody was, we had to get them extricated, then they would call for us. But, you know, then it changed to where we were first. So we didn't have the ambulance people there ahead of us. We had to deal with it.
So you guys were all trained, I wasn't going to say you were paramedics, but your first,
we were just first responders. Yeah. There never was an incentive because the girl taught the class. I was pretty good at it, and she wanted me to progress on. I thought, well, they're not paying me any more money. Why would I want to do that? You know, so I learned the basic things of it, and then that's just where it went.
And you learn on the job, too.
Yeah, everything you learn on
the job. As things happen, yeah.
Everything you learn is on the job. And we didn't have an academy. They've got all kind of training things now that we never had.
Right.
You basically had your first, when you walked in the door the first day, they showed you how to get on a truck, where your gear was, where your pack was, and that was basically it.
Oh my gosh, there was nothing.
There was not much.
Oh, I had no idea.
When I started.
So yeah, things have changed a lot then. Because
Yeah, it's totally different now from what. A lot of the guys now, I tried to tell the younger guys, I said, just if you learn anything from me, just learn this. If an older person talks to you, listen to them, because they've either seen it or done it, and they know what it's about.
Yep.
And some would took that to heart. Some just like, well, the book says, this is what the book says. You shouldn't do it that way.
But so, books in real life,
right,
as we know,
that's right.
It's not a one size fits all.
Right.
And yeah, learn from those that have gone through it.
Yep.
So I know there was like no typical day at the firehouse, but like when you would go in, like what were the same things that you would do like every time you went in? Did you have like a routine?
Well, you did clean up first. When I first started, it didn't make any difference. If it was pouring down rain all day long and you made runs in the rain, as soon as that truck got back, you washed it. They didn't care if it was raining or not. Well, I never did understand why we not wait till after the rain quits, then let's wash the truck. So, but basically every day, you've got a work schedule that you have to follow. And, normally first thing in the morning you're cleaning up. You always try to, leave the firehouse the way you got it. And so if you've had a busy day, sometimes you couldn't, if you get knocked out on a run at 6:30 and you're getting ready to get off shift at 7, there might be some things that's not. But normally you try to leave the firehouse as clean as it was when you got it. Some guys were better leaving it in firehouses.
It's just like at home. Right. Just leave it. Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, it is your home. Yeah. At the end of it,
it's for 24 hours a day. I had, you know, for 36 years, I basically had two families. Mm-hmm. I had my brothers that I fought fires with, and I had my family. And you think of them both the same. You know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for
them. You're going to go out of your way to help either of them. Right, absolutely. Right. Is there one call that stands out to you more than all the others?
Just the baby.
The baby one.
That was my worst one. Mm-hmm. I've had accidents where I looked in, send people decapitated, you know, and it's just like,
ooh.
I had to step back and go, well, that's wild.
Right.
But I had people, one person driving with a leg out the door and just lost their legs back. You know, it's, you just see a lot of things. And a lot of times you pulled up on wrecks and you look at a wreck and think it's not that bad and somebody would die. And another time you would pull up on something, look like it was demolished, and they walk away from it. So it's just, there was no rhyme or reason on how.
Does that dumb luck? You just don't know what's going
to. And it's your time to go when the man upstairs calls.
It's your time to go. There's nothing.
That's right.
Right. So can you tell us about your last day on the job? What happened? You were going in for your last day before retirement, and then.
Well, my last day started out with the. We always have it's a farewell dinner. My crew fixed my breakfast, the breakfast that I wanted that morning. And then that later on in the afternoon, my entire family was there for my last day. And then there's certain times that when you retire, sometimes you go home at 7 o'clock at night. Other times you have to work till 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, that was me. I had to work till 7 o'clock in the morning. Had I got to go home 7 o'clock, I wouldn't have to fight nothing. But you know, that evening was special with me. My grandkids were there. My kids were there. My mom was still alive that time. So it was a good day. So, but then, like I said, it's after that, you know, I've worked a shift, and it's pretty much a rule now. On your last day, they escort you home on your in the truck. So they had to wait for me. I didn't get actually done until like 8 o'clock.
Because you got a call that morning, right?
I got three calls that morning. The last call come in at like quarter after 6. And I had a camper. The guy, it was cold that day because I retired in January. And the guy had a space heater inside of his camper, and it caught the camper on fire, which caught the house on fire. So that was my 7 o'clock wake up, or 6:15 wake up before I got to go home. So anyhow, I finally got back to the firehouse, and then they took me home.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. I mean, that's. But I mean, yeah, if you're going to go out and with a fire.
I went out of blaze. For sure.
So there's all these firefighting shows on TV. What are some of the misconceptions, the things that they get wrong about firefighting?
First off, if you're in a structure fire, you can't see.
That's what everyone has said, exactly. Yeah,
and everybody always asks me that. What, you know, if you get on the early stages of a structure fire, as a matter of fact, about a week ago, there was a fire right down the street from my house. And I was headed home. It was 4th July night is when it was. And I was headed home, and we got to an intersection, and I looked at my left, and I was watching the house up there, and I thought, man, that's a lot of smoke coming out for fireworks. So I told my fiance, I said, take me up there. Well, sure enough, I got up there, and this place had smoke coming out all sides. So I jumped out of the car. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to make sure everybody's out there.
It's just because I'm retired. Yeah. It's still in your blood. Yeah. It's always going to be there.
So I run up there, and you know, the family was sitting outside, and I grabbed a hold of them and said, is everybody out of the house? Yes, because at the time, the fire was up into the attic, and I could see clearly through the house. So I said, you sure you don't have any pets, anything like that? Everybody, she said, everybody is out. So by that time, I could hear the fire trucks coming. So Amir Masavi is the chief out there, and he was actually our safety director for the city when I worked. And so as their truck pulled up, you know, I told the guys, I said, look, you've got a structure fire going here. I'm not sure exactly sure where it's at. But they got a line off. Well, the first thing that their guy did, which is a no-no, was he grabbed this, what they call a cross lay. It's the way the hoses are laid into a truck. You can take them out either side. They're going to go. But normally when you take a hand line off like that, it's just called flaking. You flake it out. So you've got a nice little path like this for it to go. So when you charge it, you can't move it much. I mean, the smaller lines you can. Well, this guy took it up there and just dropped it right at the front door. So I'm looking at that, so I ran over real quick, and I'm straightening hose out. And so I told the guy, I said, look, I'm retired from Jeff. If you want me to walk away, I'll walk away. He goes, no, you keep doing what you're doing. So I helped, you know, flake the lines out. And when I was going to stand at the door with them and feed them the line as they went in with the process, another guy come up there, so he was with the guys at the front door, and I got around to the side. I said, "Hey, you got fire breaking through the roof over here." So the guy brings the hand line over, and I said, "I'll take this hand line." So I took the hand line and started just knocking that fire.
You're not in your turnout gear or anything. You're just
I was by okay. Okay. We've had a couple guys, Greg Hammond and Mike Priest was another retired firefighter. They actually made entry to a house and got some people.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but it's still. So I got back in the car. Christy said, "I'm glad I didn't know you when you were a firefighter." She said, "I'm watching you up there," and she said, "He's going to go in that house."
You're like, "Nah, I'm smart enough to not, unless I
well,
absolutely."
I probably, if somebody would have been in there, I would have, because I knew what I could do and what I couldn't do. You know,
after 35 years, you know, yeah.
There's right. A lot of guys, you know, in the fire service, you know, as I got to be a captain, when you're training your crew and the new guys would come in, when you had to train them the way you wanted things done, it's like, I would always make a habit to go, if I could see through a house, I would make a quick run through the house before I ever put any water on, because as soon as you put the water on, then it's going to go black. So you get a layout of the house, you know, if somebody's in there, you can maybe have a chance of getting them out. So that's why I did that.
When you see on these shows, they're just running in. They're just like, just running right in the house without even doing any checks. And you're kind of like, I don't think that's how it really would happen.
Well, sometimes it is. But as it started out, you know, as times progressed and things got changed and they started a thing. I went to a class when I was about, I probably had 5 or 6 years on, I guess. And it used to be if you went to a class and you came back and give a class that you took, you got your time back. You didn't have to spend your vacation time to go to class.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So one of the things they taught us was doing a 360, which means when you get to the house, each side was labeled A, B, C, D, and you actually did a 360 thing around there to make sure, for one thing, if it was a basement fire, if it was a walkout basement, you had a door right there. If it's not a walkout basement, you knew a layout of, you know, you just got a layout of the house from the outside. Sometimes you could look in the window, you could actually see fire, you knew which kind of direction you had to go. So I started teaching the class, and the older guy's like, "That's BS, we can't do that." And I said, "Well, that's what I thought you was gonna say."
You know those old guys are gonna do, it's just like in any field.
I mean, a lot of them guys went in fires, didn't even take a pack. You know, when I started wearing a pack, they're like, "You big sissy." I'm like, "Hey, I'm not breathing that stuff, I don't have to."
Well, and then those gentlemen probably have lots of health problems.
Some of them did, some of them didn't.
Right.
Some of them guys, they made it to 85 years old, they'd get out of a fire without a pack, come out smoking Camels with no filters, and like, gee, and Chris, you guys were like, God.
But I mean, that's just what would happen. That's how it was back in the day. I mean, 70s, 80s probably. Yeah. I mean, right, now we're seeing like, well, all the building materials now are all toxic.
Yeah, but it used to be, you know, your gear and stuff, when you come in from a fire, if it was in the middle of the night, you had just a set of gear called bunker gear. It was a set of boots, and they called them Nighthawks, and you just stepped into and put your suspenders on, and your coat and hat was on the car or the truck. So we got done. We didn't wash anything. We went right into the firehouse. You know, sometimes you'd have to take a shower and stuff, but the majority of the time, you know, it's you just put your gear right there by your bed. Well, that's a big no-no now. You know, that's like they've learned things about the hoods and stuff that we used to wear. There's a lot of throat cancer. There's a lot of prostate cancer and things like that from just your belt line and your bunker gear. So times of, you know, some of the things that the newer guys now are getting, they're taking a lot, they're gaining a lot of advantage from things that they've learned from the old guys that some of them didn't make it that long, you know. So, in a sense, it's a good thing that they're learning safer ways to operate.
Well, I mean, things change, and we find safer ways to do everything, right? So, how did being a firefighter affect your home life?
Like I said, the hardest part was planning when you could cut grass on the days you could work and all and things like that. But I always worked a second job. The fire department's it was a stable job, and it never was a job you could really, if you had a family, you almost had to work another job. So I always worked with Mark and his dad, and you know, we've done stuff for years like that. And a lot of times I'd get off shift. I'm a firm believer in staying in shape. I would get up at 7, I would work out, I'd take a shower at the firehouse, then I would go to work another job until, until I got off that night, then I would go home. So someday, but just about the majority of the time, that's basically what I did. I worked another job pretty much the whole time.
I mean, but your family understood, like, this,
and they,
is, this
and they
is
did.
What
they
you
learned,
do.
You know, it's, look, this is my job. This is what gets you your tennis shoes to play ball or whatever, and I'm not going to be at everything. But like I said, when I first started, it got to be we'd all cover for each other, and they let us do that. Well, then they got around to where it was ghost employment. If you were supposed to be on duty and you couldn't be there, you weren't there, if something happened to the guy who was on duty, you know, then they got into that. So then it went away. So I coached my oldest son until he was a freshman at Providence. And my middle son, or my youngest son, I coached him until he was probably the sixth grade, I guess. And that's when it all changed, and I just had to stop. But it's, you know, you just got to understand the rules.
I mean, right, and I mean, it's, I mean, everybody might not understand it, but yeah. it is what it is.
It is what
Let's
it
keep
is.
Everybody safe, and yeah. What advice would you give anyone that wants to become a firefighter?
Do it. If you've got the heart for it. The biggest thing is the appreciation that you feel when somebody comes up and actually does hug you, or, you know, tells you thanks.
Absolutely.
Or we had people bring us cake and ice cream, dinners, everything. You know, we've been on fire before when it's cold. People have actually went to White Castle and brought, I never did drink coffee, but they bring coffee and hot chocolate, stuff like that to us. And so, you know, it's, we're taught, it used to be like, everybody would think fire, all you do is lay around the firehouse, eat. You don't, you know, you don't do, I don't know how many times we went to the store and said, bam, them guys feed you way too good. It's like, see, you don't understand what you're talking about. This, we pay for what we want to
eat.
Yes,
I have had to tell people that so many times, like, they're spending their own money.
We don't get a food allowance.
Right.
What? I said, no, we don't. So I said, if we want to eat a steak that thick, we're paying for it, we're going to eat it.
Yep, absolutely. You deserved it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, the family life, it's, they got used to it. You know, they knew I'd be there sometimes, and sometimes I wouldn't. So it's, that was probably the hardest part, though, just being away from them.
So is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Not really. It's, like I said, it was a great career. I wouldn't have changed it for nothing in the world. You know, it's, I've worked with some, to this day, I've got some of my closest friends that was on my back when I went into fires. I was on their back when they went in fires. And it's just like a brotherhood that's never gonna.
I'm sure the department has grown exponentially since you started. I mean,
yeah.
I remember as a kid, we had like one fire department, one fire station.
Yeah.
Maybe there was another one somewhere, but as
we
far
had
as
like
I know,
30 something. When I started, it was like 36 or 38, and we had two firehouses. And then from, I guess they've got close to 100 now.
Yeah, and they need more, another firehouse.
But there again, so. The rule changed that, you know, you have to have so many people on the truck. We didn't, it used to be when I've, first started, when you got to be a driver, we had what they called the snorkel truck, and you was the only one on that truck when it went out. If they went out, we had a pumper, and we had a quad, and we had the snorkel. And each month, the drivers would rotate to a different apparatus. Well, you use on the snorkel, you use on there by yourself. And a couple guys got actually knocked out on a house fire. They were by themselves, but they took that truck, and you just did the best you could do till help got there. But that doesn't happen anymore. So. There's a lot of things that's really changed. It's been a blessing. Probably kept me alive longer than I probably would have been, you know, if it hadn't been like that. And hopefully these younger guys are all captains now. That, you know, they're going to live a long life.
Let's hope so. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you.